first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots, and even you jackbooted thugs and neocons. It's time for the election night version of the TNT radio show, the Tuesday Night Truth, on the Money Matters radio network. It is Tuesday, November the 4th. Not quite remember the 5th of November like the old Guy Fawkes poem, but it is a... It is November 4th, and we just turn our clocks back, and we're going to see if we can turn back some of our government tonight. And I believe the big guy sitting over on the other side, if Mr. Ed Springsteen's with us, sir, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. It has been a wild and crazy day, and I know you voted after I did, Ed, so you want to tell us about how your Twilight Zone experience may have been today?
Man, I tell you, this is going to go down, in my opinion, as probably the worst election. I mean, take the candidates aside, and let's just look at the election process itself. And it's going to go down as the worst election process in Kentucky history so far. I am speechless. The polls look to be unorganized. The workers were uninformed, many of which were rude. We're getting all kinds of reports today about rude treatment. We're getting reports of, you know, illegal electioneering right in the poll locations.
Yep.
It's just amazing. And it really shouldn't be a big surprise.
No.
For two reasons. The Democrats are so scared of this election that they're going to do everything they can, illegal otherwise, to steal it. And the second thing that shouldn't be a surprise is who's in charge of the elections in this state? Secretary of State Alice in Wonderland Grimes, who is running for U.S. Senate. It's no wonder that it's a shambles. She hasn't been there to do her job.
Yeah, she's been asleep at the wheel and absent at the wheel for a long time. She's had that car on auto drive and trying to keep it between the ditches, not doing that good of a job at it. Well, I will give the old Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. campaign ads where they showed her parking spot open all the time. So I guess my first question on a lighthearted matter, Ed, is will Alison Grimes return to work tomorrow in a drunken stupor, or will she be back in Frankfurt at all this week?
Well, if Mitch wins tonight, Allison will not be at work tomorrow. She'll be meeting with her gubernatorial campaign staff for next year's governor's election. I wouldn't expect to see her for at least a week or two, and then only long enough to pull into the parking lot to make sure the dust clears out of the space so that she can leave again to go campaign for her next job. It's atrocious. It really is. It's really been a letdown.
And they don't really want to give us free rein to the election results tonight, do they, Ed? How much trouble was that to pull up?
Well, man, as
you
know,
horrible, the numbers I'm seeing, you can't really get live numbers.
Well, it took forever to even get a way to find a reporting thing. I mean, normally you go through clarityelections.com, I guess, is the system that most people use here in Kentucky anyway, and we get this live turnout, and we use these live results as we go through these shows. What's really fascinating here is, you know, they're always listed. You can get the live results straight off the Jefferson County Clerk's Office site. You can get it straight off the Secretary of State's site, neither of which were available this time. Finally, after perusing through the Kentucky.gov site, we were finally able to get it right before showtime to look at live results. And so far, no surprises. Of course, it's real, real early.
I mean, everything I'm seeing in the State Board of Elections page, there's only four counties reporting, and you may have gotten a look at the Jefferson County one since I had last I saw on that. It was about 2% reporting, so it's very small right now. I guess those are the very early votes. Remember, the western half of the state just closed the polls 7 minutes ago, so they're
right
close as far as the state goes, since we have two time zones. But
we've got four partially. Let's make that clear. These are four partially reported counties because no county is completed yet. Yeah.
You're right.
And as far as Jefferson is concerned, out of 623 precincts, the last update was done 10 minutes ago. I've been refreshing it every couple of seconds since. And there was only five out of 623 precincts reported. And, you know, so it's still real early. We'll have a lot more. It should get real busy in the next few minutes. I can assure you that.
Well, I was going to discuss my voting experiences. So I get out to the polling spot, and it damned if they weren't having people right there, poll workers, electioneering for Mayor Greg Fisher. Of all the people who need help, I really don't think Fisher's worried about the intimidating bomb floor tonight. But there is a guy standing there, and he's telling the lady how to vote, and he's trying to remind her, now, if you vote straight party, and I can only guess he's afraid she's going to vote straight Republican. This is just hearsay from what I could see and hear from 10 feet away. And he said, now, if you vote straight party, remember, that means you vote for this guy for mayor, too, and you don't have to vote for him if you don't want to.
Well, that wasn't even the worst of it. I mean, we're getting reports all over the place where, you know, these poll workers, you know, they're sitting at the desk. not checking IDs, which is a requirement in this state. We're also getting reports that poll workers are telling folks, vote straight ticket Democrat. I have not heard of any yet. Maybe I'm wrong. I have not heard any reports yet of anybody saying a poll worker was telling people to vote straight Republican. That's a violation. And interestingly enough, I got a phone call about right before your show. They told me about their voting experience. They had voted at their polling location, and when they went in to vote at their polling location, they walked into the you know, the little booth area they have to vote, and there were one person next to them in the booth, two people beside them, and this person was filling out four different ballots. Now,
like bingo.
So you've got three people.
Maybe one of them like in bingo.
Right. You've got one person standing in the booth, two standing outside of them, and filling out four ballots. So even if you want to allude, this person went to the poll worker and said, hey, this is purely illegal. What the hell are you doing? The poll worker says, well, I don't know what that's all about. And they were doing it right in front of the poll worker who was observing the whole thing. Of course, it was the Democrat side of the poll workers. You know, they're all labeled. So this person made a big show, walked up to those people, came back and said, well, that is their interpreter. Their interpreter is filling their ballots out for them. And, you know, and the first thing that was logical, the first logical thing you have to say is, okay, let's assume for 1 second that you're right and this is totally illegal because the interpreter is filling out these ballots for these people. How do you explain four ballots for three people? You've got an extra ballot there.
It's cover all, man.
Yeah, and a poll worker just didn't care about that. So this is what's going on. And
I voted. I voted. Well, when I got done voting, I knew that my wife had started voting before. I mean, I got done. She was still in there, and usually she gets done a lot quicker than I do. I'm hard to get those little bubbles filled in, since I had 31 of them filled in today. And I got done voting, and she's in a different voting booth. And I said, what the hell's going on here? And I find out that she took her ballot up to them, and they told her that the machine declared it invalid, but yet she filled in all the bubbles, and they couldn't tell her why the machine declared it invalid, and they told her to fill out a whole new one.
Oh, big surprise, right?
After they looked at it front and back to look at everybody she voted on. Of course, I was still voting on mine, or I would have raised hell with them, but she was just polite with them and took another ballot. But then the second time, after I went back with her, standing next to her, she put it in. Then all of a sudden, the machine liked her second one with all the exact same bubbles filled in.
Imagine that. Isn't that a miracle? All praise be to Allah, you know what I mean?
I'm sure there's a lot more out there that have more experiences, so
The sad thing about it is, you know, at least in my district, I mean, we use paper ballots, even though the red are manipulated by the diebold, you know, ballot readers. You know, that is what we use. So at least we can try to assume that we have some sort of accountability.
Now, some counties in Kentucky don't use paper ballots. And I've heard that supposedly would be more expensive. I don't know if that's BS or not, but there are some counties. I know the one election I voted in that I wasn't in Jefferson County when I was in Northern Kentucky, they have that horrible little touch screen ballot. And I felt horrible about that because you had no receipt or no proof of anything. So it's, I'm sure.
Well, we also know these touch screen machines are manipulated. They can be totally manipulated by the poll workers or anybody else who's close to the machine. You know, and we've got much evidence of that. We have video after video after video just in this election cycle, just since the early voting started in some areas about 2 weeks ago, just in this election cycle, we are seeing manipulated voting machines switching votes for Republicans to Democrats. You know, it's very disturbing, the links.
And what's almost as disturbing are these exit polls, and we know how these networks love to call races when they're not supposed to. I wish they would take a clue from Great Britain when they had the vote on secession over there with Scotland, where they are not allowed to report anything until the polls are closed, but they report this stuff way too early, and we know each of the media organizations, the junk food media as I call them, they each spend millions of dollars, or at least $1 million each, to do these exit polls. And does it make you feel better or worse, Ed, to know that right as we're starting the show, no more than a few minutes after the Western Kentucky districts are closed, they're already reporting that McConnell has won?
Well, I like
the close race. That was the $80 million race, and we were told how close it was going to be. And the people anywhere west of, I guess, I know west of like Hart County and Greene County, everybody in that part of the state further over west, they had just finished voting, and I'm sure some of them were still in line, but yet they declare,
you know, so
groups declared it for McConnell, even though they were probably still in line waiting to vote.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me because I love the example you used about Great Britain and Scotland and stuff, because the slowest news day ever, every year there, is their election day. For 24 hours prior to the polls closing, they're not even allowed to talk about elections.
Correct.
All right, they're not allowed to do anything. All they can do is report the news. So, you know, if
that
your news source
there's no cheating that goes around, but it's still a lot better than what we're hearing. You know, CNN, Fox, and PMSNBC all calling the Senate race for Mitch McConnell less than 5 minutes after the polls in the western part of the state closed.
Oh, yeah.
You know there were people who hadn't even finished voting yet if they were in line.
Well, sure. You know, and that's the thing. I love the fact that the Brits are that much ahead of us, because I tell you, that's exactly the way it should be. I mean, 24-hour, blackout during elections. It should always be that way. And, that way you can't manipulate the vote. We've seen this happen time and time again. If you go back all the way to 2000 and 2004, really, which is when we really started getting this instantaneous vote, was in the late 90s and the early 2000s. But in 2000, they were announcing the presidency between George Bush and Al Gore before Florida had even finished voting. Their
which
polls
deserved a lot
of people
from going to the polls.
And
they just said, screw it, we don't need to vote.
And what happened in Florida? I mean, let's be real here. In Florida, that's when we had 2000, when we had the whole hanging Chad deal and the Supreme Court challenge and all of that crap. So, media manipulates it all.
Yeah, one big difference with that, Ed, is we know, you and I know, and most of our listeners are smart enough to know that we don't vote for the president. We know we vote for the electoral college voters, but we vote for the Senate. And it's amazing to me, don't you think that probably some people with all their smartphones and satellite radio, and maybe they got the Stitcher radio that we're on in our cars. Maybe, don't you think some of these people were going to the polls in the western part of our state when all of a sudden they hear McConnell's the winner?
Oh, I totally get that. What if you're standing in line with this CNN and all these other people, PSNBC and all of those guys? That is the Dale Gillespie term, folks, PMSNBC, and I love that term.
But those social media is one I like to call them, too, because they're very bad for your health.
Well, when you look at all of this, I mean, if you're a voter, especially, and this isn't trying to be too offensive, although I do mean it to be somewhat offensive to some people, but, voters in this country, for the most part, are led as sheep. So if you're standing in a line, most people don't do the research like we do. They're not junkies. But if you're standing in a line waiting to vote and you've been in a line for an hour and there's an hour more to wait, and then some news source comes across and calls the vote, well, this thing's over, they've won. Why go cast your vote? You just wasted an hour of your day. You're pissed off and disgruntled. You're not going to sit there for another hour just getting the chance to make your voice heard. How many votes does that cost and how many elections are decided? I don't know. But it is very interesting contrast. I do like your example with Great Britain and Scotland, because I think that's really truthfully the way it should be.
I'm reading some of the online reports, and like I said, they're talking about 7 minutes after the top of the hour, ABC News was reporting that Mitch McConnell will win a Senate race when we knew there was still, I won't beat that horse any longer, but we got a lot of stuff on a ballot, and like I said, how long will it take for it to come in? The most disturbing thing that I saw/heard at my polling spot, or I'm sorry, this is going to sound elitist, but all the idiot people voting. I'm sorry it sounds elitist, but they didn't have a clue about any of the races. And, I wish I could have done what the poll worker did and start campaigning, but I guess that's reserved for Democrat poll workers to do that. I can't do that. We get that 100-yard rule now where you saw more hacks for the school board candidates who are sitting out barely beyond the outside of our polling spot. But, again, none of these people knew about races that were school board or judicial or soil and water, anything that didn't have an R or a D next to it. I saw people with a deer in the headlights looking at their poll workers and saying, which of these are the Democrats and which are the Republicans? I heard them saying that.
Well, I tell you what's even funnier, man. I got a friend of mine who's a police officer. And, so they went to their poll location to vote earlier this afternoon. They went to their poll location to vote. They were on their way to work, and, so they wanted to vote on their way to work to run their second shift. And anyway, so this officer, a friend of mine, pulls into his polling location up to the door, and right at the doorway, You've got a bunch of high school kids who were planted there by the Alice in Wonderland Grimes campaign,
yep,
with signs saying, vote Grimes, and screaming and yelling and harassing people walking in to vote Grimes. Well, as soon as he pulled up with his car, clearly they knew it was illegal. The Grimes camp, of course, made sure they knew it was illegal. So as soon as he pulled up with his car, they immediately scattered like rats in sunlight, man. It was amazing. He didn't have his video cam on. He goes, I don't turn my dash cam on because I wasn't on a run, you know. And so I was really hoping to get a copy of that under open records, but we can't get it. But that's what we've run into at the polls, and that's just one more example of the problem. So, you know, you talk about the sheep or you talk about the idiot voters, how many people are actually influenced by that asinine, illegal kind of behavior? It's disturbing.
Well, you know, they're influenced by the names they recognize, and that's why people wouldn't sit out there. The weather wasn't bad today. I guess some of these old blue hairs, mm-hmm, it was still too cold for their blood thinners or whatever. But people aren't going to sit out there, whatever weather it is, and hold up signs for candidates as far as they can get out but still be close enough. They're not going to do that if they don't think it has influence, because people will vote for the name they recognize. It's
right.
Like, oh, if you like Coke or Pepsi, they'll see a name. Oh, I like that name. We talked about that on the preview show, that we'll see a name they like, and that will help, mm-hmm, out. We know it helps if, as stupid as it sounds, we know it helps if the candidate's on the top of the ballot instead of the bottom of the ballot. We know it helps,
right,
where their position's on the ballot. So all that stuff's been proven to make a difference, and people vote based on those things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a crying shame that it really is that absurd, and that's why I think you should have a 24-hour blackout on the media. It's bad enough when you can't control Election Day. And really, truthfully, I don't understand why we can't control Election Day. You know, that we keep screaming, like you mentioned earlier, about the paper ballots are supposed to be more expensive. You know, that's a crock. I mean, it really, really is. When you think about it, you know, what is the price that you have to put on having fair, just elections, you know, our constitutional right here? You know, and what kind of a price do you put on that? We can spend, you know, millions of dollars trying to observe monkeys to determine which one is, why they're left-handed or right-handed. We've actually got federal grant money spent watching grass grow to see what rate of speed the grass grows. Imagine that. You know, we put out a report here a couple of weeks ago with LouisvillePolitics.com and on our Facebook page and stuff, outlining a lot of this stuff, a lot of this wasted millions and millions of dollars, you know, on ridiculous things through the federal government. And we can't take that money and redirect it to elections. You know, those are nothing more than political payback. And that's the thing. We could hire private security and have, you know, one person of private security at each election poll. And it wouldn't be that expensive to use that and paper ballots. We've got the money available. We just choose to, our uniparty chooses to give it to their, you know, their brethren. It's absurd.
You mentioned that about security, and it leads into another thing about that, is security of who's voting when they shouldn't be. And we know, supposedly, allegedly in Kentucky, you don't have to show ID to vote, but they got their sheep trained because everybody's got their driver's license out. They got their government-appointed driver's license out to do what's supposed to be a right, not a privilege. Bribing and or voting are not privileges, they're rights. And why is it that I didn't challenge it, and I should have? Why is it that they expect you to show ID? If I get not whether people think it should be the law or not, but it's not the law in Kentucky. So why is it everybody says, and they even have signs up that says have your ID available, when supposedly Kentucky is not a force to show your ID state?
Well, you know, I mean, that is interesting because, you know, at my polling place, there's a sign out front that says vote here, ID required.
Yeah.
And in most polling locations,
the state law says it's not required.
I'm not even going to argue with you on that. I know, I understand the state law. You know, for me personally, considering, mm-hmm, the amount of you know, voter fraud, election fraud, and everything else that we're getting these days, really, ID to me is not as big of an issue as I know.
Well,
it
I understand. I'm just talking about why is it they do require it when it's not the law yet. We know it used to be.
Well, I think
30 years ago when I first started voting, people knew their neighbors a lot more, and it was one of those things that,
right,
you went in and the old lady down the street said, oh, yeah, that's Ed Springsteen, she would know you. And that was like maybe it's a written, if not an unwritten rule, that since she knew you, then you could go ahead and vote as Ed Springsteen.
Well, I tell you, it's interesting because, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but, you know, but mentioning my name. But when I went into my polling location, you know, and they see my name on the ballot, you know, they may not recognize me by face, but, you know, they recognize that name and said, that Ed Springsteen, I know that guy. Isn't he the guy that did? And I'm like, I'm that guy, you know. So immediately at that point, the whole conversation changes, and everything is done by the book and very polite and things like that, you know. Even though I've seen some of the things they were doing to other people prior to recognizing my name, and that's pretty pathetic, you know. But it is interesting. I think we should change the law to have voter ID in Kentucky. I see no problem with it. You're talking about less than 0.5% of the people throughout the country would have a problem with voter ID. So, you know, that's not an issue.
The argument's always been that we show ID for everything else. And I do agree. If you got to show ID for God knows how many hoops you got to jump through to get a gun, and we got to show ID to get a job. So I agree. It's the least of my concerns. But
right.
Why driver's licenses? I mean, I can remember several years back where people would take like a piece of mail, and I understand you could steal the mail. But again, how hardcore do we want to get with the rule? Does it have to be a state-oriented, state-demanded driver's license? Do we get into what I've said on this show in months and years past? I don't think people should be forced to have a state driver's license. Go ahead.
Well, here's the interesting thing. While we're waiting on these results, here's the interesting thing. Nobody really does the math. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, there's 319 million Americans in the U.S., okay? We've got 319 million people. Of that, 87 million are below the age of 20 years old. That's from 0 to 20. Now, Ray, I'm not going to sit here and break down and take the 18 to 20-year-olds out of this equation for this example for a simple reason. If I take the 18 to 20-year-olds out of that equation, then there's even less people that would be excluded from that, which would make the percentage even lower, people without ID. But here's what we've got realistically. When you look at that number, you take 87 million people that are ineligible to vote because of age restrictions. That leaves you with 231 million eligible voters in the United States. Do you realize that as of 2008, and that number has grown every year since then, from 2008 and beyond, we have over 208 million legal drivers in the United States. So what you're effectively looking at here when it comes to voter ID laws, because driver's licenses are accepted in every
right.
state for right. ID. So when you look at here, you're looking at 23 million people that potentially – and this is potentially, don't have ID to vote. And when you break down the elections in a presidential election, the average is 55% of the voters vote in a presidential election. And when you look at midterm elections like we're going through right now, only 35% do. So if you break that down even further, you've got 23 million people that might possibly need voter ID, and you've got less than half of those that will actually legitimately vote. So you're talking about 11.5 million people. That's nothing to worry about, and that's certainly, you know, states can surely absorb the cost of giving a free ID card to these poor people. I mean, it's just absurd.
It's a state election. We had to provide them a state ID, and I don't see a problem with it. We know Allison Linder Grimes, who is our Secretary of State, who was running for U.S. Senate today. We know she doesn't like the idea. She doesn't want people to have to show ID because they like the voter fraud.
Of course. Of course, and that truthfully is the issue. You know, the Democrats are the ones who are continuing to fight this, and I'm not trying to make this partisan, but it's just the reality of the situation. They're the ones who are screaming it's racist. You're trying to keep black people from voting. You're trying to keep women from voting. So now you're a sexist. They come up with all of these divisive social issues that are non-existent to try to keep everybody divided so that they can manipulate the system. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. If we go to Colorado, how many reports do we have out of Colorado, including video of at least one gentleman walking into a polling location with a box full of ballots, which appears to be hundreds of ballots, and just stuffing a ballot box. And when one of the poll workers told him he couldn't do that, he basically said, yeah, you know what he told him? He did it anyway and dared him to do anything about it. I mean, basically threatening this guy for doing his job. So, you know, this is the absurdity of it. This is what has happened to the United States elections. And if you look around the world, Dale, in Mexico, everybody has a voter ID card and they can't vote.
Yep.
Right?
Well,
and we want to allow.
Good news. I'm seeing at least on the county page, Bobby Coastwall's page, who was up for re-election today, I see that they do have 31% reporting now in Jefferson County. If you want to go over some of the, that's still only a third of the people voting, so I'm kind of shy about even reporting that. But at least we know the polls are closed, so we're not influencing anything. So we can talk about that if we want, since 31% are reporting in Jefferson County.
I'm actually trying to find those numbers because I'm actually using the mainclarityelections.com site for the Jefferson County races, and that thing has not been updated since 7 o'clock. So I'm going to go ahead and switch that over to the...
Yeah, let me send you the link that I just went to, because, like I said, what I did is I went back to the county clerk's office and clicked it again. So I just sent it to you on the old global social network of choice there. If you want to click on it on that page there, the Zuckerberg page where they admit that they're watching us. So if you want to click on that link I just sent you, that is the one that I'm looking at right now, which is saying 31% in Jefferson County. You get that link? Did we lose Ed?
I'm here, Dale. I'm here. I apologize. I'm trying to get to that page now. And,
that's all right. I mean, we lost
do what
there.
I need to do. No. Actually.
But anyway, I don't know
microphone.
If the same page is a similar thing. If I were to go, you know, if I want to do the legwork, I want to go back over to Secretary of State's page and go back in, maybe they'd be more up to date, because I'm still showing four counties partially on there. So I don't know if
I'm going to keep both pages open. There are 31% of the precincts reporting. This is updated to 7/25. You know, right now, believe it or not, Mitch McConnell is losing. But, of course, this is Jefferson County. He's supposed
to. Yeah, that's only Jefferson County. If he didn't lose Jefferson County, they'd run Alvin Grimes out of the state on a poll.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, of course, as expected, Mike McFarland, or, you know, Dr. Mack is losing to John Yarmy quite handily. Greg Puccetti, as we talked about last night on the pre-election show, was going to get 1% or less. Right now, he's staying true to that. You know, what's really interesting here, though, is Thomas Massey and Newberry up in the 4th Congressional District. You know, Massey, we expected to win big, but so far with the early reports, I mean, he's winning huge. He's at 67% to 33%, and these are the early precincts that are reporting right now are not even Tom Massey's best precincts. I mean, Tom Massey, you know, the one he is part of the group that closed late, you know what I mean? So they're not even reporting yet. This number
is
going to get
numbers
real
that we're
big.
Seeing are, we're just seeing the numbers from that slither of Jefferson County that they added to the district when they chopped it all up like a pizza. And that's the tiniest part of Jefferson County over there in Ed Martin country over there, which is part of Jefferson County got in. But I don't think Thomas Massey has anything to worry about. I hope he didn't spend much of his campaign money. I know he started a great political action committee of his own where he helped out a lot of candidates around the state, and he wasn't doing what the McConnells and the Rand Pauls do. Thomas Massey was putting his money into state races to actually put his money where his mouth was and help liberty-oriented state candidates, so I was glad to see that.
Well, actually, I've got to disagree with you to some extent. I mean, the one thing I love about Tom Massey is he's not selfish. He is putting a lot of effort in helping with state races, something that our Jefferson County GOP won't do with Republican candidates.
Right.
But, you know, Rand Paul is doing the same thing. He has been in this state. I can't even tell you how many times I've listened to him speak on behalf of other candidates just over the last 2 months.
Well, I guess what I mean
Let's
is...
Let's not discount him.
Right. No. I'm not mean to do that. What I mean is, he's in a federal seat, and it's no secret that he's planning on running for president. I don't know if anybody's going to feel that hasn't been announced. So he has to do a lot of these federal races, and his political action committee has given them to a lot of candidates that, frankly, I wouldn't give to his political action committee because I wouldn't want them going to these neocon candidates. So that's, unfortunately, the hand he's having to play. I know you get the poker hand, you're dealt, you got to play it, and that's him trying to make influence on the federal level. But that's what I mean. Thomas Massey... strictly
well, I got that.
But state races, and he's a new congressman. I mean, he could just sit back and relax and say, hey, I'm going to worry about doing my job and getting reelected, but he's had the ability, the political capital to invest in these state races. That's what I meant.
Well, I agree with you there, and that's the difference with Rand Paul. He may not be able to put as much money into the local races, but he is putting in the time. You know, and you can't discount how much money that brings to these local races when you bring in the caliber of Rand Paul. And some other races I really want to point out real quick, Doug. One of the ones one of the ones we were talking about last night was the 29th, the race between Kevin Bratcher and Dave Stengel. We expect this race to be close just because of the Democratic establishment, who apparently likes a drunk, illegal former Commonwealth attorneys, and that's what I refer to him as. I'm sticking to that, but Bratcher is actually up by about 6 points right now, so that's a good race to go on. And Phil Moffitt, he's a Libertarian Tea Party candidate, has led the way towards charter schools here in Kentucky and is still working towards that. He's up right now by about 6.5. So we're looking at that race as well. The other big race that I'm kind of curious to see, Jerry Miller, of course, isn't going to have any problems in the 36. He's up by over 30 points right now, and I think that's fantastic. But I want to get into the I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my voice is what I'm doing. Sure. But I want to talk a little bit about the race with Linda Belcher and see how that race is going. I'm looking for that right now. Because I tell you, Linda Belcher and Mike Nemes should be an interesting race. I'm kind of curious to see where that one is heading to. And I'll have those numbers for you in just a second.
And I saw a minute ago we had we do have someone wants to join in here. I think this is somebody we know. I won't call him out, but I'll bring him on the air if that's all right with you, Ed. We got him on there. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, guys. It's Robert.
Hey, Rob Chapman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Did you know that there was an election for mayor today?
No, you're kidding me.
I heard somebody say that.
No, that just tells you the malaise in this town. That, you know, they didn't have to run an ad, put up a sign, anything. The Republican Party just surrendered everything to Greg Fisher and company.
Oh, they agreed that they didn't recruit anybody. I even, Ed, you may remember, I even put this in my endorsement list. I made it very clear if you did the research when the one guy who did run for the Republican ticket, maybe the first time his name will be mentioned and only time outside of this show tonight, Bob DeVore, when he filed to run for mayor, the county bigwigs made it very clear that they came out and put even out a public relations or a press release saying that they did not recruit him. And like I said, he's a nice enough guy. I don't know if I want to be mayor of Louisville, but when they admit that they did not recruit him and nobody else ran, then that's their way of admitting that they did not successfully recruit anybody to run for mayor from a pool of 180,000 registered Republicans in the county.
Yeah, I mean, that's just sad. And, you know, look at it. I don't know about your districts, but, you know, out here in the East End, I was just shocked at how many unopposed candidates that were there. I'm just – all of the constitutionals were basically unopposed.
Yeah.
Well, we have so many. I mean, we have Metro Council races that were unopposed. We have not just Metro Council races, but let's look at the judges here. 43 judgeships were up for election, and out of those 43 judgeships – you know, 24 of them were unopposed. You know, those are kind of disturbing situations.
What about the fact that we had no Republican or independent party candidate or anybody else challenge the sitting Democrat sheriff?
Yeah, well, there you go. John Aubrey, there you go. And John Aubrey's got his hands full over this whole Mike Hedick thing, and we're going to get into that at LouisvillePolitics.com next week. But that's going to be very interesting a situation going forward. You know, it is interesting when you're looking at some of these races, and I'm still trying to find the Nemes race. I find it odd that it's just not showing up yet. That's very strange to me. So we'll see what happens here. In the meantime,
yeah,
Jefferson County's – go ahead.
No,
because Nemes is in Bullitt County?
About the poll workers and the problems that they have with poll workers and inconsistencies and irregularities. You know, Jefferson County doesn't really need it because we've surrendered it to the Democratic Party regardless.
Yep.
Unless there is a Rand Paul, a very popular, you know, off-the-cuff candidate, you know, who's more or less independent. Nope, Republicans are never really going to hold office. And our politicians are so inept that what, you know, Ed and I last year spoke with Kelly Downard. And he was shocked to learn that we still had a judge executive. And here's the president of Metro Council.
That's true.
Here's a president of Metro Council who, A, didn't realize the office still existed, and B, didn't even recognize the name of the person we told him
was
the county judge executive.
That was actually during the whole David Whitlock situation, which was 3 years ago.
Yep.
You know, so that was a little bit different. But, yeah, you're right. And most people were like, you're kidding me. And, of course, since then, the whole Whitlock situation has taken over. And I want to point this out real quick, too, if I may, Dale. The State House 49 is not reporting yet. That's why we don't have any numbers.
Well, you
for
said
him.
Nemes, but I thought he was in Bullitt County now.
Well, he is from Bullock County, but I'm looking at the State Board of Elections.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's really Trevor County. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, no, no. I'm going off the state list, and it has not been reported yet. So that's why we don't have anything on that particular race yet. I just wanted to make sure your listeners knew that. It looks like the Jefferson County Clerk's Office is finally starting to update on the Clarity election system. No big surprises. Everything is still about the same as we expected. I'm kind of curious in these judge races, because I tell you, we talked a lot about the judge races last night. And, you know, we really don't have too many with competition here. Just to name
I would guess that we did more talking on the judges' races between the show last night with you and Ed and Ken, and I got in late on, and then a couple other blog talk shows that I sat in on. I'm guessing we probably gave more coverage to the judicial races than anybody else in the media in the state, because so many people, like I told you, they don't know these judicial races. Now, I'm sorry I called them idiots, but these blue-haired Bloody Mary gang that we see walking into the polls, you have all the old ladies coming in like they're either on their way back from bingo or on their way to happy hour, I'm not sure which, and they're all looking at the poll workers saying, which of these are the Democrats, which are the Republicans, because they had no idea on the judicial races. And we said last night they were going to turn over the ballot and see that there were 43 judicial races, only 20 with opposition, and they're going to turn a ballot over and say, oh, shit.
Well, you guys were talking earlier about the media and their stories trying to impact races. Do you remember, I believe it was Channel 3, did the judges behaving badly?
Yeah.
Like two, three weeks ago, they did the judges behaving badly series. All they did was, it was basically a free commercial for those four judges.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, I saw where Ed's favorite judge, you know, she had competition this year.
Well, that's true. And there are some races that we've actually, I'm really paying attention to anyway, especially the family court races. And Dale, you're absolutely right. We gave more coverage to the judges' races in the last couple of weeks than mainstream has given them throughout the entire election. And that's pretty sad, because these are the people who are going to be sitting in judgment of us. They're going to be interpreting the laws, and nobody cares what they're doing. So let me ask you this, Ed.
Since it's 41 minutes past the hour, and you pay the bills around here, it's my show, but you pay the bills. Do we need to take a break?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, no, we don't have to have one.
Okay,
you want
so you call it, boss.
Really,
if you don't want to take a break, we won't.
No, all right. Well, it's your show. You make your own decisions.
No, I mean, you pay the bills. Like, I don't need to take a break.
We can skip the breaks tonight, because I tell you, we still got a lot to cover.
Right.
And we're not going to have much time for overdraft tonight. I know your schedule is busy. But in the Family Court First Division, one of the races we were looking at last night was Angela Johnson versus Lauren Ogden. And, you know, we all pretty much decided Johnson was going to run away with this. And we aren't that far off, because right now Johnson is up by about 14 points. Another race that I was interested to see was the one with Deborah DeWeese. And DeWeese is just crushing Ellie Kerstetter. And I personally am thankful for that, because Kerstetter is in the Denise Bentley, Rob Holtzman, Jim King family. And I'm glad to see that she's getting her butt handed to her. One of the races I was kind of curious to watch was one in the 5th Division in Family Court. As we talked about last night, with Stuart Shearer and Tara Haggerty. You know, they both had great things to say about each other. It hasn't really been a negative campaign. Both of them are taking a new stab at this, and we weren't sure which way that was going to go. But it looks like Tara Haggerty, as we predicted last night, was going to have the edge. We just weren't sure how big, and apparently real big. She's up 70% to 30% right now. Christine Ward, of course, we said was going to run all over Morgan White. She is. She's up by 35%. The one race that I'm watching closely, another one I'm watching closely, is the Family Court 7th Division. This involves Denise Brown and Dennis Burke. Those are the two candidates. Denise Brown is the one I caught doing illegal behavior. Put that on video. Put it at LouisvillePolitics.com and at Springsteen.com in the article. You guys can see the video yourself of Denise Brown committing criminal acts, wanting to be a judge in family court, and she is actually winning 60-40. And for
she's
the life
handily.
Of me, I can't see.
Yeah, and that was one of those races, Dad. Well, I think it was funny. We talked about position on the ballot and name recognition. What was funny is I didn't think about it until I got in there. I knew who I was going to vote for. I mean, we made no bones about it. We liked Burke in this race. But if you looked at that ballot, and people have to have a visual right now, so this is radio, that's not going to help them. Those names are very similar, same number of letters, They both start with the same Dennis, Denise, Burke, Brown.
Yeah, DB,
so
right.
I think a lot of the old blue-haired Meemaws and Papaws could have gotten confused.
I would hope that would explain it, because for the life of me, I can't see how somebody who commits criminal acts can do that. And of course, once this election is over, I'll probably use the video and file charges against her with the Judicial Conduct Commission. They'll either do their job or they won't. It depends on who's paying them enough money.
I'll these numbers
have
turn around
legally herself.
Yeah, I hope these numbers turn around and flip flop a little bit when we get more percentages. Are you still seeing 31%?
Yeah, I'm going off. I have not refreshed.
But unfortunately,
this list is so long.
Yeah,
this
I'm
list is so long
that we don't really like too much that are winning handily, like McDonald over Gaston and your buddy KK, whose name shouldn't be mentioned, against her opponent. So we're seeing some of these incumbents winning pretty handily. So I'd like to think that the anti-incumbent vote would help Gaston and Claudia Ann Smith some more, but so far it's not looking like it.
Well, you're absolutely right. In another race, really, District Judge, 3rd Division, Sandra McLaughlin versus Matthew Eckert. McLaughlin is a nut job. This
is the
worst
same ratings
person
of any judge.
Yeah, the worst ratings of any judge. She was fired before she ran for judge in the last election for attacking a juror physically, in the hallway, because she didn't agree with the decision the jury made. So she physically attacked this juror. She should have been disbarred, was not, had great connections and great money. You put all this together, and then you look at all the videos that we have gotten recently about her, the way she treats people that come before her court, and somehow she's winning by about 12 points, which defies all logic. People, this just goes to show you, people just really don't pay attention, and that's why we've done as much as we have.
Well, we can't blame that on the straight party, because like we said, the Meemaws and Papaws are confused that those judges didn't have D's and R's in front of their names, so we can't blame it on the straight party. We can't blame it on her doing a good job, so why in the world is she winning so big?
Because they are doing a good job. We know every judge, folks, every judge that wants to vote in this state is registered as a Democrat or Republican. So we can tell.
So what I mean,
about
though, is they couldn't vote straight party and give her a vote. They had to turn that ballot over and get past that old shit moment. We've actually got to vote for some of these people, the black moo-moos.
That's not hard to do.
How did she get that many votes more as a bad incumbent judge with the worst ratings?
Because she's got two or three people that are passing out cards to show her name on it. I mean, it's that simple. It's no different than any of the parties do. The Democrats will tell you who to vote for. Republicans do, too. And they always include judge races. And, of course, you also can't discount the union labor movement and everything else. So there's a lot going there. It is good to see David Bowles. David Bowles and Josephine Buckner. David Bowles is winning right now. I'm sorry? Yeah, David Bowles is.
Are winning easily tonight.
And
hey, guys,
can I
ask you a question before I jump off?
Sure.
About the judge races. Now, forgive me. When we were younger, when I was a kid, my first election, which was in 84, I distinctly remember judge races being a waste of time, because the judge, once you were appointed by the governor, you got to put your judge in front of your name on the ballot, and they took that away. Did they not? Is my memory flawed on that?
No, you do not have a judge in front of your name now. You don't have incumbent or anything else in front of your name on the ballots anymore. So
they took that away, so at least it's a race now, because back then, they didn't even have to spend money on the elections. They were like, all I have to
well,
do
you,
is get the
you
governor
got a good
to
point
appoint
there.
Me. And, at least it's a race now, and at least people have to pay attention. But a lot of that's name recognition and, Dale said, ballot position. Because I'm running through that ballot, and to be perfectly honest, that's a lot of names to remember, and I'm an educated voter. Mm-hmm. And I just went, wow, I don't remember any of these people. I think this lady's dad, if her dad is who I think he is, he was a pretty good guy, stuff like that. I mean.
Right. Well, it gets very, very interesting when we start looking at other stuff. I tell you, a couple other races, if I can, Dale, I hope you don't mind. But Gina K. Calvert, Susan Jones race. Gina K. Calvert is the judge who got caught campaigning from the bench on video in court. Bitching because the FOP did not give her the endorsement, and how she will going to do anything for them anymore. So here we've got this judge, this illegal electioneering from the bench, and she is in the lead right now as well, which is very disturbing. And Delahanty, of course, is running away with her race, which is to be expected. Stephanie Burke, that's one race that I really, really like, because Stephanie Burke, C. Pierce Burke, is winning her race handily right now. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, Katie King, again, money trumps everything. Evil and money trump everything. Katie King right now is being investigated for illegal campaign finance violations again, as she is in every election.
When you have a bad record like King has, or a bad record like McLaughlin has, like you said, we know they got the money and the names. We've established that the name and the money are helping them. But if their bad record can't get them beat, how can anybody come in and unseat somebody in a black moo-moo?
Well, that's a good question, because Katie King shouldn't even be on the bench. Katie King shouldn't be in the bar at this time. Her and her father, the illegal things that they did back in 2008 were proven to be illegal. Plenty of illegalities that should have had them disbarred all were covered up by the Judicial Conduct Commission, in my opinion, and she got to keep her job. That's just part of that insider machine.
And I always thought all the time, Ed, that it was all a big Democrat Party thing, because, I mean, you're the one who told me all about Katie King stuff way back, and then lo and behold, I may have told you about this. I know I told you about this now, about a week or so ago, of all these pieces of campaign junk mail I get in my mailbox that the pseudo-government postal worker decides to not throw away. I got a piece where Julie Denton was telling me to vote for Katie King.
Yeah, you know, and that's because Julie Denton, as you know, she gave up her state job to come back here and be on the Metro Council, which will win that seat. Julie Denton has never been
in that race, so it kind of goes back to what I wanted to bring up.
Did they favor to Jim King, who has aided Julie Denton in her previous races?
That's what I'm saying.
This is where it's all connected.
They think it's conspiracy theories when we talk about this stuff, but we've talked about, you and me and Paul Holliger and other people, about they agree behind the scenes which races the Democrats will challenge someone and which races the Republicans will challenge them on, because how else can you explain that you had this musical chairs on the Titanic where we had a sitting councilman didn't run, that was Jerry Miller, because he was running for state house, and then the House member, Julie Rocky Adams, wasn't running because she was running for state senate, and the state senator, Julie Denton, isn't running because she's running for Metro Council, so they did this musical chairs thing. How does she walk into a Metro Council seat in Louisville, even if it was Miller's old district? There's still a lot of Democrats. How did she get no Democrat opposition if it wasn't planned ahead of time?
Well, that's exactly it. And this is the Jim King factor. I know everybody hates hearing that and everything else, but it's the truth. You know, Julie Denton goes out and supports Katie King. Jim King makes sure he puts the crunch on the Democratic Party. It's just the way it is. When you have the money and you write the rules because of your money, that's what you get. And I don't care if anybody believes me or not. It's my opinion. I've spent extensive research outlining the Democratic Mafia and their underboss, Jim King. And if people don't want to pay attention to the truth, that's their problem. But speaking about council races, Sherry Bryan Hamilton in District 5 versus John Owen. John Owen is the class of the field, but of course he's getting his butt handed to him by Sherry Bryan Hamilton.
But did you refresh the page, Ed? The numbers have changed drastically in the county. They're at the 58% reporting.
I just refreshed them just a minute ago. About 3 or 4 minutes ago, actually. Council 7, this is the one we were talking about last night as well. We didn't think they could go wrong in either case. You've got Angela Leith, the Republican, Bruce Maples, the Democrat. This is Ken Fleming's seat. Ken Fleming, of course, is stepping down at the end of this term, pursuing other interests. But we weren't sure how close this race was going to be. Angela Leith is currently leading by a little over 20 points. And in District 9, this is where Bill Hollander gets to be the Greg Fisher rubber stamp man. Bill Hollander is a Democrat that Fisher actually endorsed in a primary, which broke every primary rule of the
party.
That
was a primary with like 10 candidates in it.
Right. He broke the rules of the primary, the Democratic-owned rules, and supported Bill Hollander because he needs Hollander, because Hollander will do anything Fisher tells him to do. He'll bark like a dog if he tells him to. And Laura Rice, who is the better candidate, happens to be a Republican in this case, she's down by about 10 points right now. Another race we were kind of watching, District Council 11, Kevin Kramer and Larry Hujo. We were wondering how close that was going to be. Kevin Kramer is up right now by about 13 points. And, you know, so finally we go to count 17. Everybody wants to know, oh, by the way, I have to point this out. I know this sounds bad, but everybody wants to know why we didn't talk about Dan Johnson last night. I've had 100 phone calls and emails today. Why didn't you talk about Metro Council District 21 and Dan Johnson? And as I tried to explain late in the program yesterday, it just wasn't worth talking about. Johnson's got this district handily, and he's proven it now. He's up 66-28. You know, but let's go back.
Remember, he's got independent running against him. This is another one that the County Republican Party, in all their glory and a drunken stupor, didn't run anybody against the very corrupt Dan Johnson. So this is independent, and we can't rule out the power of that straight party. This is a candidate where people had to intently vote for him. He didn't get any votes. I don't think there were many people in Kentucky voting straight independent. I'm pretty sure, is that even an option on the ballot?
It's not even an option.
So there you go. They had to choose to vote against Dan Johnson. So that's purely 28% of people who do not like Dan Johnson.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out, because John Witt, as an independent, is going to 28% because the public is scared to put up a candidate. You know, that says a lot about, you know, why independents. This is another example of why independents should be included. When an independent is pulling 28% in any race, you know, just another example of why we can't continue down the road we've been going on. And then in Council District 17, Glenn Stuckle and Susan Johns. Glenn Stuckle is the incumbent. Right now it looks like he's going to keep his seat. He's up by about 10 points. You know, as far as any others are concerned, I don't think there's anything out there, really. But the school board,
yep.
This is where I know you want to talk about. And unfortunately, as much as I hate it, and I know you do too,
yep.
District 5 school board, Linda Duncan, is running away with that seat.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And I hate that. I hate that.
I do too, because people talk about how they don't like the way the school board's run, but then they go back out and vote for the same cast of characters. We talked about how in District 1, how that, her name escapes me now. We know in District 1, she didn't even have anybody running against her, and you had all the way up to August to run for school board, and nobody ran against the incumbent in District 1, Diane Porter.
Right.
But in District 3, you had the incumbent step down, and that one's really close, but like you said, District 5.
Well, that was Larry Hujo. Yeah, that was Larry Hujo.
But look what happened in District
there.
6, though. Carol Haddad's getting her ass handed to her, the incumbent.
Well, it is very interesting to see that. I'm glad, as we both are, Lisa Wilner has got 55% of the vote. Carol Haddad is second right now in a three-way race with 27%. The other almost 18% is going to Patrick Hughes. As we all know, he is the U of a guy who had home makeover and all the other stuff. So, you know, Lisa Wilner, fantastic job. I mean, I'm not in the studio right now, but I would give her an applause, because I think this is very, very important to the school board. We get rid of one old person that does not need to be there, has always been an obstructionist, and Carol Haddad is well on her way out. There's no way to make up that gap. So, you know, you were praying for it, you were predicting it, you were right.
Well, here's my thing. I'm not even a fan of Wilner, but the fact is, the people who voted for Patrick Hughes, he did not campaign at all. I wish he had. I didn't see him getting stuff out. I would have preferred him just because the other two are not good. I don't even like Wilner, but it is different from Haddad, and I don't think anybody voting for Hughes, if he were not in the race, I don't think they would have voted for Haddad. I think if anything, they would have even voted for Wilner. So you have an incumbent who right now has 72% of the vote against her on school board, and you've got to be pretty much disliked to have that happen.
I think that's fantastic. So we didn't get rid of Duncan, but Carol Haddad is gone. For all intents and purposes, and I agree with you. I think that's fantastic. If I can, just to give you a quick update, Dale, for your listeners, the U.S. Senate race, we just refreshed this, 13 county reporters are still a long way to go, but McConnell and Grimes are in basically a dead heat. McConnell's got her by about half a percentage point at this time, 48.9% to Grimes, 48.5%. David,
you got
Patterson,
the numbers refreshed.
Libertarian candidate.
12, you have 12 completed counties, correct? Is that what you're looking at? 13,
yeah, right, yeah. Well, there's four of 120 that are partial counties. There's actually 13 completed counties. My apologies on the numbers. But David Patterson, the Libertarian, who got absolutely no mainstream media attention at all, was illegally, in my opinion, kept out of the KET debate, the only debate that Colin Grimes would adhere to, and he's still getting 2.6. We expect him to get between 3 and 4. We'll
see
if that
more than that. Here's the question, Ed. How long is it going to take, whichever one of the two wins, McConnell or Grimes, we know the history of both these two major parties, both sides of the uniparty, how long is it going to take before they all start bringing up Patterson's name? He was the name that shouldn't be mentioned by anybody. They wouldn't talk about him at all during a campaign. But how quickly is the loser between McConnell and Grimes going to blame him?
I think that's going to depend. And I tell you what it's going to depend on. If McConnell or Grimes gets 51%, Patterson is irrelevant. He didn't cost anything.
No. Right.
He didn't cost anything. Even though we know that typically, and that's one of the things that you brought up last night and Ed Martin brought up last night on our show, was, you know, the Libertarians typically get, the other candidates typically split the vote. They pull from the Democrats and the Republicans basically equally. So, you know, they all like to use that excuse, but the voting patterns show different. So I'm kind of curious to see
what
the final
what happened in the state races. We remember what led all up to the Red Star campaign that made Ken mm-hmm. Mohman famous and yours truly in a little way, since they made up their own Dale Gillespie rule. We remember how they blamed Ken Mohman for costing their lovely KC and the Sunshine Band Crosby from winning the state treasurer's race. And you know, you remember how horrible of a candidate she was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it.
It was just like this case. I mean, Mo doesn't mind us saying. He and Patterson are very close. They're very tight. They're very much, you know, in that Libertarian Party together. So that's why I'm saying if McConnell doesn't win this thing, it won't take long for the neocons to start blaming the name David Patterson, that they wouldn't dare mouth the name before tonight.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And I'll just refresh again to see how quick they're updating this list. At the state level, and McConnell is now up to 49.25%. Grimes is down to about 48.1. David Patterson is maintaining steady. So, you know, things look to be going about the way we expected them to go there.
We still got Western Kentucky to come in. You got to remember, Eastern Kentucky is where Grimes is going to get the most votes. She pretended to be for Cole, but it's still all that old diehard Democrat. Western has gone a lot more Republican in the last decade or so. I think the numbers will increase for McConnell.
Oh, I think the number is going to increase too. As I said last night, I think McConnell wins with 52% of the vote minimum. I expect that to go to 52 or 53. I went on record last night with that, and that will eliminate the David Patterson excuse. And looking further, in the third district, once again, Dr. Mack is getting slammed. John Yarmuth is winning 61% to 37%. You can split the other percent any way you want to. Tom Massey,
how nice it would have been if the McConnell machine had allowed Dr. Mack to campaign before the primary.
Well,
we all heard
it's
the rumors. I heard it from several sources that McConnell, people I know who wanted to campaign for McFarland, who were told, and I'm not going to name my sources, you know, media has their sources rights, but I know a handful of people who were told not to campaign for him until after the primary, because otherwise it might hurt McConnell against Matt Bevin.
Well, and as we know, nothing hurt McConnell against Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin got his ass handed to him. But, you know, you're right about that. But more importantly, you know, if McConnell was going to go out there and make that claim and everybody decided to play ball, as we know they always do, why wasn't McConnell and the rest of the Jefferson County GOP jumping in the game to help Dr. Mack after the primaries were over? Because that has been the biggest difference. Mack couldn't get any money because, you know, again, once again, locally, they're pouring all of their money, their time, and their resources into making sure they keep the Senate with Mitch McConnell at the expense of everybody else. So, you know, if Dr. Mack would have had anything, I mean, at this point, he's gotten almost 38%, you know, 100% on his own. And I think that really, truthfully, his campaign manager is a guy by the name of Joel Adams. And I've got to be honest with you, I think Joel has done an exemplary job doing a campaign with absolutely zero money and pulling so far almost to 38% of the vote. And it's all because McConnell and them did not come back and pay the piper. And they should have. And I think that's disgusting.
I thought that was interesting, going back to some of these percentages, going back to what we were talking about earlier in the local races for Metro mm-hmm. Council. I didn't know, and I give them kudos for showing it up, I didn't know that the county elections page, maybe they did in the past, I don't recall, would show us the write-in votes this quickly. But did you notice the only district that had significant write-in votes was Dan Johnson's district? I mean, we're talking about the people who don't like Dan really don't like Dan.
Right.
Because how many people knew that there was an official write-in candidate? I don't even think I talked about it. I had him on my radar. But I don't think I even mentioned his name. But I'm guessing that's, you know, it had to be him and only the official write-in candidate, for whether you agree with it or not, only the official write-in candidate will get those votes counted. So how many people knew enough, and I don't know if that guy has that many close personal friends, because they must have really disliked Dan Johnson. They go out there and they remember the guy's name to write in. That's hard to get people to write in a name. I'm trying to pull the page back up here, but it was a percentage. It wasn't less than 1% like the other write-in votes. It was like 3% of people that went for a write-in candidate.
For me, what's interesting about that, Dale, is the fact that they took the time to write it in. I would have done anything in that election because everybody – I've been paying attention to social media today, too, going through the Twitters, the Facebook, all the other things that we have to do in our media business, right? We have to keep up with all of this. So I've been looking at all these social media sites today, and it's really interesting how many people are out there saying, write in a candidate, write in a candidate, write in a candidate, and they actually believe that that candidate's name will be mentioned or even heard. Unfortunately, there's no such thing as a true write-in candidate in Kentucky. You actually have to be a write-in candidate, pay the filing fee to be a write-in candidate, to be considered a write-in candidate, even though your name is not going to be on that daggone ballot. It's absurd.
And
these people actually
said,
think they're making a difference.
Yeah, and I can kind of see both sides of it because, you know, it's not like we think that the Secretary of State or County Clerk's Office is that busy. They could count these votes. But what I've always said is I understand that people put in stupid names that aren't eligible. But if my theory has always been if you write in the name of somebody who truly is eligible for the seat, that means they meet all the age limits and the district requirements and the residence and all that. If you actually vote for somebody who meets the requirements of the seat, then I think their name should be counted. But you are correct. Like a few states, I don't know how many, I haven't done the research, Kentucky, you have to declare and pay $50 to be a write-in candidate. But the fact that happened because Dan Johnson in that race, we know how much we dislike Dan Johnson and all his corruption.
Right.
But the write-in candidate now has 6.5% of the vote in that race. So, yes, Dan's got 65, but the write-in candidate and the independent, no Republican. Just think if the Republican Party had got their heads out of their ass and ran a candidate against Dan Johnson, he might not even get a plurality or a majority.
That's very true. That's very true. You can look at it that way. Just some more quick updates for your listeners, Dale. 29 state rep, Kevin Bratcher, Dave Stengel, 52-48 right now with Bratcher. There's still a long way to go, but he's still holding the edge there. And as we continue on, Phil Moffitt and Ashley Miller. As we know, Ashley Miller is the African-American Miss Kentucky, African-American female Miss Kentucky, who believes in hazing her sorority sisters just a year ago, gets suspended from her own sorority for 3 years.
And appeared semi-nude on a rap album cover.
Yeah, you know, and she's a great role model for women, you know. But she's down still by 5 points, 52-47. Moffitt's still winning that one.
For Phil. I mean, we know he crushed Shelly May, and rightfully so, in the primary, and I would have thought he would have won more in the general. I lived in that district before. I just can't see them going for her, so I don't know if that's ballot stuffing.
Well, you know,
it was or what?
I wouldn't go so far as to say this is ballot stuffing. I really wouldn't. I think what you look at here is a situation where, you know, really, truthfully, at this point, I think it almost has to be somewhat sexist because Ashley Miller doesn't have the credentials. She hasn't done nothing. She has a lot of negatives. But I tell you what, you know, she goes out and smiles and tells people what they want to hear. You know, you're going to vote. I mean, she's going to get votes. I just don't think there's any way around
it. Put a ton of money in smearing Phil Moffitt and making up stuff about him.
You betcha they did. You betcha they did. And Bob DeWeese and Gretchen Hunt, 48th District, DeWeese is running away with that one handily. He's up 17. Still no reports on the 49th District with Mike Nemus and Linda Belcher. That really is the one I can't wait to get information on. That one is one I'm watching real closely. It's tragic what they've done to Mike Nemus in that race. Mike Nemus is one of the class guys. I mean, he really is. He truly is one of the good guys. There are no negatives. I've seen Mike Nemus out at campaign events, in districts that have nothing to do with him when he was state rep, you know, before the redistricting. The redistricting is the only reason he's out of a job. They redistricted to benefit Linda Belcher, and a trade-off was to get Dan Syme a district he wouldn't have to fight in. That was a trade-off by Dan Syme. But, you know, Mike Nemus was out because of redistricting. But I've seen this guy at all these different campaign events, Dale, you know, in districts that aren't his, and people are coming up to him asking him to help them with different situations that their own reps aren't taking care of. And Mike has sat there, pulled out a piece of paper, written down all the information, and followed up with people that he didn't have to worry about. They weren't his problem. You know, that's the type of guy Nemus is. And I hate the fact that Linda Belcher has been able to go out and get away with this lying smear campaign. And I truly hope that the people in District 49, this new District 49, really get that. You know, Dr. Mack is still getting beat handily, my friend. There's just not much to be done there.
Well,
Tom
yeah,
Massey is up to 30.
I didn't want to go too long, but I didn't want to cut us off too short either. I tell people there's a lot of good places out there to get your election coverage, and I refuse to watch the ABCs and the CBSs and the PMSNBCs. But the good news is if you go out online, and after the Kentucky races are well over tonight, you go out there and see Ben Swan. I know you're familiar with Ben Swan. He's doing a show tonight on RT America all the way up until 10 o'clock tonight after we go off the air.
Right.
And Alex Jones is doing a show up until 1 a.m. about the election. So I would advise people, you want to get national coverage, just ignore the idiots on the networks and go to some of these alternatives online. Reason Magazine's doing it. There's everybody's got the Twitter and the Facebook handles out there. So you can follow a lot of stuff without paying attention about what those blowhards are saying.
I agree with you totally. And personally, out of the people that you mentioned, I strongly recommend checking out Ben Swan. Swan is one of the most credible people in media today, as far as I'm concerned.
Great show tonight. He started about 4 p.m. today, and he's talking about how his show is not focusing on who's going to win, the Republicans or Democrats, but he's focusing on libertarians and independents and write-ins and ballot initiatives. So it's pretty educational.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's because Ben Swan is actually feeling the need. He's trying to generate or trying to show, you know, the country, hey, here's the alternatives. Let's see if they're finally getting the voice. One thing I've liked about Ben Swan, I always have, he hasn't just worried about the two parties. He's actually looked at the picture in its totality, and I think that he would be a great one to watch for the results from here out. Just so you know real quick, because I know we're getting ready to wrap up here, but Mitch McConnell is now in the groove exactly where we expected him to be. He's got a 5-point lead over Alice in Wonderland Grimes. It's 51-46. And David Paterson is still maintaining a little over 2.5. So, you know, there can be no arguments at this point, you know, that David Paterson cost anybody an election.
That's about 14% of the ballot then.
right. Yeah, it's still early. But as long as those numbers maintain, you know, they can't accuse David Paterson of anything.
Well, again, I don't think anybody on this network wanted to see Alison Grimes become U.S. Senator. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and like I said, I made it very clear I did not endorse in that race. I was flattered by all the people who passed around my endorsements. But this is kind of like a shout-out to those neocons who wear the Depends down at headquarters in the Republican Party. They made up the lies that we endorsed Ken Mohman when we didn't. They did the whole Red Star campaign. So I made clear I did not endorse anybody in the U.S. Senate race, but we knew there were three people on the ballot. We know that there's actually four write-in candidates. I don't think the state party or the state website lets us see write-ins, it doesn't look like. But again, 50.6%, like you said, McConnell's still got a majority and a plurality, and I think it'll get bigger for him as the night goes on in Western Kentucky.
I agree with you 100%. And as we continue going through the local races, the last number I have is 54% of Jefferson County is now reporting. And there's really no surprises there either. So we'll just see what happens as we go forward.
Now, we've
tonight,
seen some stuff.
Like,
I'll say this before we go off the air. You know yourself, man. We've seen some crazy flips in Jefferson County where we'll see like 58, 59%. And then next thing we know, it's 99%, and it's totally swapped who it's candidates winning.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. In the last 5 minutes, it's a miracle how many votes get found or whatever they're there for. I agree with you 100%. But it looks like Carol Haddad is definitely done. 55% are going for Lisa Wilner at this point. And Haddad has only got 27. So those are ones I know you're paying attention to.
Yeah, it means we'll get at least two new members of the school board. And the problem was we had seven members of the school board. Three were up last year. And unfortunately, we got two more establishment hacks. I will give Chuck credit. Chuck has done a few guys, or one of the only, he is the only one of the three. Last year, three seats were up, and Chuck got in there, and he's an alternative to the establishment. So if we can get at least two new people in there, we know we have one incumbent stepping down. So we're guaranteed to have at least turned over 3/7 of the school board over the last couple of years. So that's an improvement. Like I said, it's not good when we let people like what's his name, David Jones, and the other establishment hack get in there. But it is redeeming to see people like Chuck Jeter and other people run for it. So I don't know that much about, or don't have anything really that great to say about this lady who appears to be going to beat her dad. But, you know, it can't be as bad as Haddad is what we always say. But then people say better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. But you have anything big other than the upsets to announce that you'll be talking about on tomorrow night's show, Ed?
Not really. By tomorrow night, we'll have all the national results, and we'll be able to see how the elections worked out around the country. And that's really what I'm looking forward to do. I'm curious to see if the U.S. Senate does flip Republican. And I'm also curious to see if there are any gains in the Kentucky State House. Remember, you know, everybody's focused on the nation right now, but we here in Kentucky are focused on the Kentucky House, because if the Kentucky House flips, it'll be the first time Republicans are in the House since, what, 1920s? You know, so when we look at this, they need 5 seats, and I believe if Mike Nemes can pull off District 49 against Linda Belcher, that's at least 1 seat there that flips, and we'll need 4 more. So I'm really going to be paying close attention to the
Kentucky
House.
And one thing I do
want to
say, I'm glad you said that about the state races, because as we know, the state Senate was already overwhelmingly Republican.
Yes.
And I got some breaking news I just saw come in here. I don't know if you saw this or not. I just got this off my Twitter feed, where CN2 is reporting Kentucky State Senate Democrat floor leader R.J. Palmer has lost his election tonight.
Have not seen that yet. I've been busy trying
Democrat
to keep up with all these.
They're announcing it on CN2 Politics that the Democrat floor leader, R.J. Palmer, has been upset, as they called it, upset. I don't think it was an upset, but he was beat by his Republican opponent, Ralph Alvarado, tonight. He lost by over 1,600 votes, and he was the Democrat floor leader, R.J.
Wow.
Palmer.
Well, I tell you what, then, that's a very, very interesting development, because, you know, that to me tells me that there is a chance that they do get 5, the Republicans do pick up 5 seats in the State House.
I think
it's going to
be close.
Very interesting.
I would say right now, in everything we've seen, I will predict between 4 and 5.
That would be an interesting turn of events, because here in Kentucky, we don't require supermajorities to keep the governor under control either.
Nope.
It's all done by supermajorities. So if they pick up the State House, clearly the Senate is going to stay in Republican hands.
I think it's a good pickup because Palmer, like I say, was a Democrat floor leader, so we know what kind of shenanigans go around with the leadership of the party. He did have a pro-life voting record, but hey, it's Kentucky. Most Democrats do. Whereas Alvarado had a record also. He got the endorsement over the incumbent. We know how Right to Life likes conservative Democrat incumbents, where Alvarado got their endorsement. And far more importantly to me than that is Alvarado agreed with Kentucky Campaign for Liberty on all 7 of their 7 core issues.
That is very interesting, Dale. That's going to be a development I'll watch closely over the next hour once we get off air. But
I hope everybody stays tuned and stays informed, like I said, through some of the sources we said. And I'm sure if Ed has any stories that he thinks are the biggest news, he'll put them up there on the website. Ed, just spell out the websites and stuff again for everybody.
We do everything at LouisvillePolitics.com, and we also do updates all the time on Facebook. So if there's something out there that we're reading, we'll post it on the Louisville Politics Facebook page as well. We try to keep you informed. Just a mention to the audience. Tomorrow night we will be covering the post-election results, and we'll really get into the heart of the elections this time, including everything about the illegal die bold machines, in my opinion. But I'm really curious to get caught up with Ben Swan's coverage tonight, because I want to see how the independents, the libertarians, the Tea Partiers, and all the outside people made a difference in the midterm. So I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out.
If people go over there after we go off the air tonight, Ed, BenSwan.com. Right now it's Ben Swan talking elections one-on-one with Jesse Ventura.
It don't get no better than that, man, I tell you. All right, well, I appreciate having you on tonight.
All right, everybody, we'll
Thank
see you
so
all
much.
Tomorrow night. Ed will be back with you. Stay informed. Stand up to the New World Order. Make a difference.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready. Thank you.